Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Dr. Rizzo, for that introduction. I'd also like to thank the selection committee for giving me an opportunity to present in front of this audience today. So my topic for discussion today is peripheral blood mitochondrial DNA copy number and melanoma risk. I do not have any financial relationships to disclose. To begin my talk, I would like to introduce the problem that we were interested in. So melanoma is a type of skin cancer, which is an aggressive therapy-resistant tumor of melanocytes. So melanocytes are basically pigmented cells that are found in our skin epidermis. They produce the pigment melanin, which gives our skin its color. So under normal conditions, they can be found lining the basal surface of the epidermis, as shown in the top figure. Under atypical conditions, as in melanoma, they are disorganized and are arranged haphazardly in clusters throughout both the epidermis and dermis. Skin cancer in general is a major public health problem. It affects close to 3.5 million cases in a year. While melanoma constitutes only a small fraction of skin cancer cases, it is clearly the most fatal and accounts for almost 75% of deaths due to skin cancer. Close to 70,000 new cases and 9,000 deaths are annually seen due to melanoma in the United States. Its most common etiology is due to exposure to ultraviolet radiation from the sun. It can be seen on almost all parts of the body, but its most frequent manifestation is the cutaneous melanoma. In early stages, it is fairly well controlled through loco-regional treatment, but in advanced stages, it is quite fatal, and until recently, we had very few effective treatments. It continues to remain a major cause of morbidity and mortality worldwide. It has one of the fastest rising incidences among all solid tumors. Among men, it is the fifth most common cancer, and in women, it is the seventh most common cancer. It can be diagnosed in all age groups with a median age of diagnosis of about 63 years. Before the year 2000, the then standard of care had a very low success rate in achieving response. Only 15 to 20% responded to treatment. But since then, the FDA has approved several new drugs, including targeted and immunotherapies, and we now see response rates even as high as 80%. Despite these significant advances, however, a large number of patients do not have durable responses to therapy, in that they tend to relapse within a year. Also, they experience significant toxicity due to these treatments. Therefore, there's an imminent need to continually research the biomarkers that might lead to such a disease. So our primary exposure of interest was mitochondrial DNA copy number. So mitochondria, as we all know, are semi-autonomous organelles formed in the cell. They are primarily responsible for cellular metabolic functions, including oxidative phosphorylation for the release of ATP. They are both the primary source and target of reactive oxygen species. Each mitochondrion consists of 2 to 10 pieces of mitochondrial DNA, which is circular and covalently closed, as shown here. They are maternally inherited and are much smaller in size than nuclear DNA. So mitochondrial DNA has about 16,000 kilobases and just encodes for 37 genes, compared to the 3 billion kilobases found in the nuclear DNA. They are extra chromosomal. They do not have any protective histones. And given the fact that they are very close to the electron transport chain, they are highly susceptible to genotoxic damage due to these reactive oxygen species. They also have a much diminished DNA repair capacity and a much higher mutation rate. So what exactly are copy number variations? So basically, these are frequent and dynamic alterations in the genome. They result in one section of the genome being greater or lesser than another section. So in general, mitochondrial DNA is fairly consistent across cell types, but the actual amount varies depending on the energy needs of a cell. So a type of cell that has a high requirement of energy will obviously have a higher amount of mitochondrial DNA. Also, because of this relative consistencies, the mitochondrial DNA in one type of cell can be used as a marker for the mitochondrial DNA in another type of cell. For our study, we used mitochondrial DNA in the peripheral blood leukocytes, and its variations in those have been implicated in mitochondrial dysfunction, which has been linked to carcinogenesis. Also, variations in copy number have been linked to several other cancers in the past. Both positive and negative associations have been seen. So how is all this relevant in the context of melanomas? So there are several signaling cascades that are implicated in melanoma, such as the BRAF, MEK/ERK pathway, or the PI3-AKT kinase pathway. And all these pathways are responsible for the generation of reactive oxygen species. So melanocytes are therefore dependent on an effective antioxidant mechanism to counter this, and which is kind of indicated by its copy number. So an increased copy number would indicate that there is a greater need for increased antioxidation. Only one prior study looked at peripheral blood mitochondrial DNA in melanomas, but they did so only in the context of familial melanomas. And therefore, based on this brief background, we hypothesized that an increased mitochondrial DNA copy number is associated with an increased risk for melanoma. And we hope to determine if mtDNA copy number in the peripheral blood can be used as a biomarker for melanoma risk. And so we conducted our study at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center between the years April 1994 to July 2013. We used a matched case control design. Cases and controls were matched 1:1 on age, sex and ethnicity. Our cases were confirmed melanoma diagnosis cases. Majority of them were stages 1 and 2. Controls were picked from unrelated clinic visitors most of the time, but we also chose spouses. Our total sample size was 1,000. We did have a few exclusion criteria as mentioned. Since majority of our patients were white Americans, we restricted our study to only this group. For data collection, we administered a structured, self-administered questionnaire to elicit information about risk factors and demographics. Risk factors are known melanoma risk factors such as pigmentation history and the type of exposure to sunlight that they have experienced over their lifetime. To determine mtDNA copy number, we used real-time qPCR or polymerase chain reaction. So here we used two primers to amplify either the mtND1 gene, which is a mitochondrial gene, and the HGB gene, which is a nuclear gene. So the ratio of these two is said to be proportional to the mitochondrial DNA copy number. It's also called a mtDNA index. So moving on to results. So first we ran a univariate conditional logistic regression model to look at the association between all our covariates and our outcome. So in general, as expected, all our risk factors were positively associated with the risk of melanoma. So for example, when we looked at hair color, patients that had a blonde or red hair color had twice the risk of melanoma compared to patients who had like black or brown hair color. We then looked at the association between our exposure, that is mitochondrial DNA copy number, and the risk factors. So overall, the mitochondrial DNA copy number in cases was significantly higher than in controls. It was 1.19 to 0.99. And regardless of the type of risk factor or the various levels within it, this trend wasn't affected and it was always greater in cases compared to controls. We also looked intra-group, we also looked like within cases and within controls, and saw that only age and family history were significantly associated with mitochondrial DNA copy number. Then we ran a multivariate conditional logistic regression model to look for the association between our exposure and outcome. We did confounder testing at an alpha level of 0.1, and age was our only significant confounder, so we only adjusted for age. We treated mtDNA as the variable in three different ways. We first took it as a continuous variable. We split it at its median and used it as a binary variable. Or we split it at its quartiles at the 25th, 50th, and the 75th quartile as a nominal variable. So regardless of the way in which we used the variable, it was always positively and significantly associated with melanoma risk. We also did a trend test for our nominal variable and saw that there was a positive and significant trend. Lastly, we looked at the joint effects between each of our exposure and our risk factors. While there was no significant interaction seen, we did see a high effect size on stratification. So for example, we always took the low mtDNA group as our reference. So when we looked at hair color and looking at black or brown hair as our reference, so patients that had blonde or red hair had a 46% increased risk of melanoma if they had low mtDNA, and a 242% increased risk of melanoma if they had high mtDNA. Based on all this, we concluded that the peripheral mitochondrial DNA copy number is positively associated with melanoma risk, and that all known risk factors were significantly associated with melanoma in this population, that cases had a significantly higher mean mtDNA copy number compared to control, and that there was no significant interaction seen between our exposure and risk factors. Our study had several strengths. We were the first, to our knowledge, to show a positive association between peripheral blood mitochondrial DNA copy number and melanoma risk. We had a large sample size, hence were efficiently powered. We showed correlation with other melanoma risk factors. We do, however, also acknowledge that there were several limitations. This was a retrospective study, hence we could not determine causality. There could be potential for recall bias. Also, all our blood samples were post-diagnostic, so we are not really sure if the mtDNA is an effect of melanoma or a cause of it. Different people, they vary in their blood cell compositions, so this could confound the association. We did not measure blood oxygenation levels. Blood oxygen is indicator of reactive oxygen levels, which in turn is an indicator of mitochondrial biogenesis. So this was something that we could have considered. Lastly, although these numbers are fairly consistent, we did not really examine the correlation between peripheral blood mitochondrial DNA copy number and that in melanoma tissue. So our study did have several useful implications. So first of all, mtDNA copy number can be used as an index for cellular oxidative stress. This stress can be due to a combination of both hereditary and environmental factors. Though the biological relevance of this is not completely clear, one prior study had shown that patients that had a CDK2NA mutation showed decreased levels of P16 expression. So P16 is responsible for cell cycle control in melanocytes. So to compensate for this, the mitochondrial DNA copy number increases, so which we kind of agree with as well. Also, melanocytes, since they produce melanin, this process itself generates a lot of reactive oxygen species, which might subject the mitochondrial genome to damage. So to compensate again for that, the copy number might increase. So we suggest that future studies further investigate this mechanism to understand the biology better and to study the correlation between the copy number in peripheral blood and that in tumor tissues. I'd like to acknowledge my mentors, Drs. Zhao and Shen, and the entire Department of Epidemiology at MD Anderson for their support. Thank you for your attention, and at this time I'd like to take any questions.
Maybe I have a question at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Just to make clear, I was not sure if it was on the slides. Maybe I didn't check it out. But first, how many subjects were in each groups?
500 each. We had a total of 1,000, so we matched them 1:1.
Okay, so very good. And one question I have, how was the distribution between the sexes and the age range?
So they were matched on age and sex, so we had a very similar proportion of age and sex in young.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Any questions from the audience?
So the question is from what was the method we used in pulling the sample? So MD Anderson is basically a tertiary referral center. So we usually get cases coming in who are referred to us from all over the country. So all our samples were drawn from patients who visited us at the clinic. So we didn't actively seek out blood from patients. Yeah, so we did not look at geography, so that's an interesting point. So that's something maybe that we could look at. But since we looked at race, and since most of our patients were just white Americans, we just restricted our study to that group. So our results are generalizable only to that ethnicity. Okay, thank you.
Taking a look at
So I'm just trying to understand your question again. So you were asking if we could have chosen our controls differently?
Well, if there was data on the control room, uh-huh. or consider having a second control room, that were people who did not expose themselves to the carcinogenic effects.
Right, so that's an interesting point. So actually, before us, several studies looked at mitochondrial DNA in non-melanoma population. So like basically if there's a signature at all of mitochondrial DNA in such a group, and the mean copy number that we saw in our population was very similar to that others had also seen. So hence we did not look outside the population that we got. So.
Uh-huh. One more.
Yeah.
Do you have any plans for testing the idea of looking for the mtDNA number as an indicator as an index of oxidative stress? Do you have a proposal of how you follow up the study with a different, instead of looking at melanoma, would there be a second pathology that you could look at,
mm-hmm.
test for that relationship of the mtDNA index number with oxidative stress?
Mm-hmm. So that's a great point you bring up. So we did a similar study in a breast cancer population as well, and there we measured the level of homeostatic antioxidants in the blood. So also interestingly, we saw that like whenever mtDNA copy number increased, there was reduced levels of antioxidants in the blood. So yes, that is definitely a plan that we have.
Great, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.